I recently entered a competition to win 100 bottles of beer. It was run by a beer club that I'm a member of, and to enter, all I had to do was make a donation to the Queensland Premier's Flood Relief Appeal and forward my receipt to the beer club. They described it as part of their commitment to making the world a better place one beer at a time. Sounds good to me. I'm actually really impressed by people who think up and organise things like that. The person from the club who organised it, I presume, could have just sent off a $500 donation herself. But instead, she thought, I wonder if I could use my $500 in a way that would induce a few other 100 other people to donate as well. And she did. Now, I would like to think that I would have donated anyway, because I don't like to think of myself as the kind of person who has to be motivated by self-interest before I do anything, but I can't be sure that I would have. I did intend to, even a bit before hearing about the beer, but I have to admit that I didn't actually get around to it until the beer was on the line. And I know that there are plenty of times when I do have good intentions and never get around to seeing them through. So I'm thankful for the creative action of the beer club that helped make sure that I did. And in the unlikely event that I actually win the beer, that would be very nice too. But of course, since then, we have had one of the biggest cyclones ever, and now we've got floods in Victoria again as well. It's feeling a little bit like the planet is starting to kick back at us. And we're going to find it harder and harder to know how to respond if the natural disasters keep coming at this sort of rate. A few months after the Black Saturday bushfires, a few of us went and spent a day helping to rebuild fences on some affected farms. Only a small contribution, but it was real, and it was hands-on, and we got a lot out of it too. And someone suggested to me the other day that we might think about doing something similar this year in the aftermath of the floods, which seems like a pretty good idea, because the clean-up's going to take months. Jesus said that we are to be the salt of the earth. And one thing that is true of salt is that it doesn't do anything from a distance. Doesn't have an equivalent of writing checks. Salt has to come into contact with something before it has any sort of effect. But when we're faced by such large-scale disasters or other major human and environmental needs, we usually feel pretty inadequate, don't we? One of the things that often stops us from getting directly involved is this sense of inadequacy. We feel unqualified and ill-equipped. The needs are so huge and we've got no idea what we're doing. We have no training in rescue or recovery work or in rebuilding or counselling or anything else that seems relevant. But when I baked the communion bread this morning, the salt appeared to be the most insignificant ingredient. There was so little of it. And yet, if I'd left it out, you'd all notice the difference in a short period of time. Sure, the flour made a bigger contribution to the loaf, but the little contributions are still important, and without them, the bigger contributions often really lack something. Our little bit of fencing work or the beer club's 100 bottles are not going to save the world on their own. But they show that everyone can do something and that every little something helps. As I reflect on this in the light of today's Bible readings, it strikes me that our sense of being unqualified and inadequate affects us in all sorts of areas to do with our engagement in God's mission in the world around us. Disaster relief efforts are at the front of our thinking at the present time for obvious reasons, but in all manner of ministries, from evangelism to peacemaking, from intercessory prayer to non-violent resistance, most of us feel that we're not ready to do much yet, that we don't know enough, we haven't had the necessary training to be able to make any kind of real start. Let me briefly point out a couple of things from our Bible readings. A superficial glance at our reading from the Apostle Paul's Corinthian correspondence might seem to reinforce our sense of inadequacy, because Paul talks about people being spiritual or unspiritual, being mature enough for the deep things of God or not. Immediately, most of us feel ourselves kind of sliding down Paul's scales. Not very spiritual, not very mature, not ready for anything deep. But look again. Firstly, Paul describes himself when he first came to preach the gospel in Corinth. He says that he was weak and frightened, and that what he was saying was so simple that no one would have been impressed. He says he deliberately avoided talking about anything more complex and just kept his message to the one topic of Jesus the Messiah and him crucified. And he is saying that even if he could get into more complex things, there's often no point in doing so, because the message that people need to hear and respond to is quite simple, and you already know it. But even more importantly, he's saying that you shouldn't get hung up on whether you know enough or can speak or act well enough to achieve anything, because ultimately it's not up to you. The Spirit of God will make use of your willingness and your faithfulness, but she has very little need for your brilliance or your competence. Personal brilliance and well-qualified competence only tend to get in the way. And so the Spirit is often far more able to work effectively through those who think that they've got very little to offer, but are willing to be available and to have a go. The other point that the Apostle is making here is that everything we need comes as a gift from God. We can't earn it, or work at it, or receive education or training in it. You don't need to go off to college and get postgraduate qualifications in theology and ministry. You just need to be willing to receive the gift. Those who Paul describes as unspiritual are not so because of their lack of training, but because they have dismissed God's gifts as worthless and set off without them. Accept the gifts, and everything else starts to become clear. This lines up well with what Jesus says about our role as the salt of the earth. You see, he doesn't say this as a command or an instruction. He's not telling us that we should be the salt of the earth. He simply states it as a fact. You are the salt of the earth. Yes, he raises the question about whether we are effective salt or so contaminated as to be useless, but there's no plan B. We are the salt of the earth, for better or for worse. But just as Paul implied, salt is not supposed to be the most noticeable and impressive thing. If you have a meal and all you can taste is the salt, it's not a good meal. Similarly, with the other illustration that Jesus uses, the purpose of a light is not usually to draw attention to itself, with the possible exception of a traffic light, but usually the role of a light is to make everything else visible, visible in all its glory. Salt seasons and preserves, and sometimes contributes to some other important chemical reactions as well, but its value is never in drawing attention to itself. It is for the benefit of other things. You are the salt of the earth. Your role is to help bring out the full flavours of life as God intended it to be lived. Your role is to help preserve all that is good to stop the world going rancid. These are not big things in themselves. But boy, we notice it when they are not happening, when the saltiness is gone and things start going tasteless and off. Friends, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And your saltiness or your light is not an accomplishment, but a gift from God. Your role is to keep yourself from becoming so contaminated that your saltiness can no longer be discerned or your light can no longer be made out. And to get out there where the salt and light are needed and reflect brightly the glory of God and bring out the full flavours of the life that God has given us. You don't need anything more before you can play your part. It's all a gift, and wear it.